long, where it looks kind of weird right now, but if I give it 2 more weeks.
That's super long.
Get it? Octavarius, so nefarious. 8 legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. I don't wash it,
never heard of a blowjob.
Hey, everybody.
There you go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode...
66?
60?
Really? No way, that's right.
No, that's pretty close.
63.
Can we do a sexy podcast for 69?
Hey, whatever, yes, that's fun.
Sure,
it's
dude.
In the future, man.
It's up to the letter.
Yeah,
it's true. It depends who writes in.
Well, hello.
Okay, why don't we just go ahead and sound off, starting at the far end of the room. From
hey,
me.
It's Castelvi.
Hey, it's Makula.
Hi, it's LP.
Hey, it's Cloud.
And Mark.
Hey, it's Keith.
Hey.
Oh, go ahead.
It's Lauren.
Hey, it's Brian.
And you got Chris here on the dial.
We are having fun.
Great.
What?
Oh, shit.
Keith, what's happening?
No, shit.
Keith, tell us.
Let us know.
Guys, I forgot the mailbag.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
This podcast is ruined.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got it right here.
Mark.
Yeah, I just found it under my seat. Here, hang on. Let me just open this.
Make sure you mark that off on your bingo square.
I opened it up.
This letter comes to us from one Tord Nader.
Yeah, dude.
What's Tord got to say, Mark?
Hey, Octavarius. Ooh, I'm a bit of a blowhard, so you'll have to bear with me on this one. I am just spinning in circles because natural disasters are so scary. They can be very harmful, but also sometimes beautiful. At least that's what my wife tells me. But Mrs. Nader doesn't know the first thing about natural disasters. Can you help inform her? What is up with that?
Okay. Well, thanks, Mr. Nader, for the letter.
Thank you, Mr. Nader.
Thanks, Shannon.
Can we talk about...
Is he related to Ralph?
That just happened 2 weeks ago, or just now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks everyone who came to the CIF show.
Yeah.
And saw us with 123 Fag and Jessica. It was amazing.
It was a huge, awesome after party.
Yeah, we met so many fun people from all across the country.
I want to give a shout out. Give a shout out to On the Spot.
Oh, On the Spot's amazing.
They're like my favorite people.
I want to give a shout out to EUX from France.
Ooh. They're amazing.
They were great. Tim, we're going to be best friends.
I bought beers for all of them. I made them all
Croy
drink Old Style.
As soon as he walked in, Croy, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
The Turkish guy?
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that the one with the black hair?
Yeah, with the mustache.
Croy!
What was his... Is Croy his full name?
I think it's his first name.
Because I knew a guy named Croy Dell, and he had told us his name... His name was just made up by his parents. Like, it wasn't a name they heard from anywhere.
That's
they
how
just
all names
put, like, two random syllables together to create something they thought sounded cool. So if his name was Croy Dell...
Isn't there a drink called Croy?
Yeah.
But not Croy Dell.
Let's see, we conceived him when we were on St. Croix. And I have a Dell computer. Name.
Perfect, baby.
Frederick.
Thank you all who came to the show.
Yeah, thank you everybody.
/ dance party.
Yeah.
So wait,
we're awesome.
Awesome dance party.
But anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So we're talking about natural disasters, the fun side of natural disasters, right?
Oh, the fun side, the best and most fun natural disasters ever were the tag team in the 90s of earthquake and typhoon. The natural disasters.
Yeah.
Although they never held championship belts, were incredibly large men whose finishing move, well, at least Earthquake's finishing move, was him jumping up and down and making the ring shake because of how fat he was, and then just flopping onto his opponent. It was a devastating maneuver, as you can imagine. Just devastating.
Yeah, I remember those tag teams.
When we went to Raw, they did like an earthquake move.
That was CM Punk. Yeah. CM Punk, because we got to see a dark match, which was not on television. Why it's dark. And they don't turn the lights off, though. And CM Punk did an homage to Earthquake and did Earthquake's nice. Finishing maneuver just for people like me. And but most likely for himself. Because it's really fun to stomp around. Were you guys ever, like, you know, rambunctious kids? Do they ever call you, like, the tornado?
Oh, I was the, well.
Were you the tornado, McCool?
I was a tornado, and then in basketball, I was the devil on defense, like, in third grade.
Like the Tasmanian devil. He was a tornado.
Right, exactly. Because I would just run back. I'm sure it was, like, offside, things like defense. That.
What, I love Taz.
Thank you, Lauren.
nice. One of my jobs was working at the Palatine Park District Community Theaters like building, and I was a theater manager there, which just meant I like sat in the back room and watched Kung Fu Panda and Prestige on the computer like 80 times.
Oh, Kung Fu Panda is awesome.
I love Kung Fu.
But over the summer, we also had to manage the band shell. Like whenever there were concerts, we'd have to set up all the speakers and help run the show. And then other events too. And every year, because and no one else would do it, I was the person for the Park District Baseball Award Ceremony, which is like 8 hours of them handing out trophies. And my favorite part was the coaches that gave nicknames to every kid, because you could tell the ones that didn't do anything. Like there was a coach who had like the home, like Jeff, the home run hitter Miller, Barry, Bat Smasher Johnson, Clark, the enthusiast Weinberg.
What? Like, the enthusiast?
Just like his spirit really picked up the team as they were actually playing baseball.
Oh, no. I was kicked off.
The enthusiast sounds like a shitty name for a remake of the Robert De Niro movie The Fan.
The enthusiast? Yeah, it's just somebody who likes something a lot.
Wait, Nick, yeah. You were kicked off a team?
I was kicked off of baseball, like a T-ball, kind of like baseball team. Like
a
T-ball
team?
You got kicked off a T-ball team?
Well, hear me out on this, because I was like...
How precocious were you?
What? Like Clark the Enthusiast, I sucked at T-ball. I was even like... These things, people think.
So did every kid, but you can't suck so bad they kick you off. Well,
excuse me, I was a member of the all-star T-ball team.
I was awesome.
So you all can suck it. I was great at hitting that stationary ball.
Yeah, well, I was so not as good as Keith.
Yeah.
But Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves just came out. So we would all, you know, like near these baseball diamonds in the northwest suburbs, they always had like a forest. So I kind of just like disappear from the game.
Wait, you would be in the outfield and would just leave?
I just walk
so
away.
You were kicked off because you were a liability.
Well, yeah, no, because I would come back with like a huge
stick.
So
you were never the tornado, you were the liability.
Well, I was the devil tornado twister thing in basketball. In baseball, I was Little John from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Jesus. See, I would say that I played baseball very briefly.
It's a boring game.
I absolutely awesome. Sucked. But... I wasn't so much like, because like, it seems like natural disasters are such great metaphors. Like, I'm a hurricane, I'm the earth. Because, you know, it's like something you can't, like a natural disaster owns all. That's like, you know, you can't fight against it. It just ruins you. But I was
devastating.
Exactly. I was the kid out in the field who like, they just had me out in the outfield because I sucked. And that's where they put crappy kids. And I was the one who would like, put the glove on my head and like try to catch the ball with my hat and like
I was pretty that much guy.
I was more of a hill than an earthquake.
Chris the hill.
Chris the hill bogue.
Have you ever been in an earthquake?
No, they must be terrifying.
I slept through one.
Yeah, me too.
Illinois had one. I thought.
Yeah, yeah, everyone slept through it. It was in St. Louis.
I mean,
yeah.
Like one you can sleep LA. Through though. One that's like shit is
like a legitimate like a little
very
rumble.
Brief one.
Like an earthquake that disrupts life.
Yeah.
I've never been through.
Yeah,
no.
It's pretty wild. I mean, most of us grown up in Illinois or Tennessee, which isn't really known for its fault lines.
No, it's a tornado town more than anything.
Yeah, most of us have grown up with tornadoes, right?
Oh my gosh, dude! I was like excited/so scared for tornadoes that like I made a tornado preparation kit when I was younger.
Wait,
that
what?
I kept in my basement.
What, like, what is a tornado preparation
Nick
kit?
Nick seems to
like,
know.
Yeah, I did. You know,
Cloud, we grew up in the same area, so we all knew. Like a couple months of the year, was you would hear the sirens and you'd run downstairs. I had an entire bunker set up.
Yeah, I had like a box of like for some reason like pamphlets of information about what
did you have
do.
A map. I had a map.
I'm sure I had like water bottles. I don't know, stupid
I had grapes.
Stuff.
Grapes. They got bad. My parents didn't know about it.
Yeah, same thing, Lisa. I had like. A stash in the basement of a blanket, a stuffed animal, like, you know, what I thought was...
I thought I would need it. And bicycle helmets.
I know, I've been... I don't know if anyone else has seen much of the footage from in the southeast U.S. where they've had recently a bunch of really devastating
tornadoes in Alabama and Georgia.
And my heart goes out to everyone there.
Yeah, that was really
bad.
Yeah.
And I hope the cleanup for it is going well. I've heard that it is.
Yeah.
But you know, nothing can replace a lot of the stuff that's been lost. And one of the things that when I saw the footage from it, and they said it was like an EF5, which I don't know what the E is from.
Big?
I only know F from
Twister.
From Twister.
Yeah.
So I assume.
Sweet, let's talk about Twister.
I assume EF is just like extremely fucking five.
Yeah.
Wait, can I. But if we're getting into Twister, I wanna. I'm trying to find the story about it. There was, in these tornadoes down south, these horrible tornadoes. One was so bad, I guess a guy's, his newborn baby, got sucked out of his hands. Into the tornado, and they were able to save it before it touched the ground. The baby's doing fine.
Wow.
But he walked out, and the baby, it was so small. It's like 3 weeks old, and he stepped outside trying to get to his car, and the wind just sucked. Like, could you imagine?
Wow.
Like,
I need that.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
that's horrible.
Catch that baby.
Well, I mean, we can, you know, we can all, I guess, because, you know, it ended up okay for them. I mean,
thank God. Oh, gosh, what a horrible feeling.
Yeah, because that's, man, we're powerless. The earth is just cruel, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about natural disasters. Everyone blames the earth. You know, the earth is cruel. It's not like the earth goes like, I'm here to fuck up your day.
I always hear whenever there's a bunch, like if there's ever two natural disasters within a short enough time span, I always hear someone be like, Earth is mad at us.
Yeah.
No,
just,
fucking
I just
with
don't
it.
See
I have
that.
A friend
well,
who,
go ahead.
Who genuinely believes that that the government is doing all of this. She's a crazy
control
friend.
Control the weather?
Yeah,
the
like,
weather machine?
Yeah.
Like in the Truman Show?
That the natural disasters are.
I don't remember
that.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the weather machine girl to meet up with the people that are birthers. Because then,
then
you have the one person that believes the government can achieve, you know, the ability to control weather.
Yeah.
And then we have the other person that doesn't even believe the government can do a proper background check. Like, that's... Like, I want to get those two in a room.
Yeah, I want to know who those people pay to do their background checks. I assume it's the same people.
it's bizarre to me. And, like, she doesn't like Obama for that reason. Because like,
of his weather machine?
Yeah, because of his weather machine.
Why did he program all those
you know?
Disasters?
Gosh.
He's just a
That's
rookie.
Insane.
He doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
She come to our shows, this girl?
She has once.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Can you imagine
I'm
if you
sure
were
she's nice.
If you were the president and like day one you get the alien talk and you're like, oh, God, that is fucked up. And day two they're like, okay, we got to take you to the weather machine.
Oh,
you're like, what?
It's time to play.
I'm still getting over the alien thing.
Time to play what, Keith?
It's time to play weather.
Oh,
where you sit and you just plan the next month's weather. That sounds like awesome.
Well, guys,
would that
but then
be...
wouldn't the meteorologists be much better at their job if they got tip-offs?
I don't tell them.
Dude,
apologies to our meteorologist listeners.
There is only one meteorologist that I trust. And
Al
it is,
Roker?
It's no.
Oh.
No,
yeah,
Al Roker is the
Al
meteorologist
Roker.
I make fun of all the time.
Yes. Mark
Roker.
Loves to make fun of Al Roker. But, no, the meteorologist I talk about, or that I'm talking about, is one that I trust, and it's one that all of us have had. And it is Tom Skilling from WGN.
Oh, my Facebook friend Tom Skilling?
The weatherman who knows.
I got to know him really well living my last apartment because it was a gardener that would always flood. And whenever it was raining, I would just go to his website on the Chicago Tribune and everything and just be like, I mean, I had all of his apps on my phone. Just like, how much is it going to rain?
When's it gonna stop? So thorough.
He's good.
And he not only cares about the weather, but just he has such a burning passion about weather that is unmatched. This dude, like Mark and I are Facebook friends with Tom Skilling, and I hope you listen, Tom, because I think you're fantastic.
Friend of the show.
But Tom Skilling, on all of his Facebook messages and everything he posts, there's like rarely a thing that's not about weather. He'll post things like when he visits his son in Alaska. He'll post about the weather in Alaska.
You know, that is interesting. I knew a girl in high school, and she later went on to college, and she studied, you know, she's studying meteorology. And every once in a while, you get those people that are completely fascinated about the weather.
I mean,
it's such a thing that, like, we just, it's cold outside. These people, like, there's a certain kind of person where that interests you so much, knowing everything about the weather. Well, I couldn't even fathom that.
If I recall, my knowledge of the weather system and meteorologists is such that I was under the understanding that they know kind of, but it's a lot of it is just pure random chance.
Yeah.
Like just with pressure points. I mean, and you don't really know which, if it's good. That's why it's like a 50 previous pattern. That's why it's like, yeah, it's a 50% chance it's going to rain because precipitation means it's a 50% chance that the rain in the clouds will fall onto your specific side of the planet.
Well, there's always something that could happen that's not necessarily natural to affect the weather.
Exactly.
Yeah. There could be a fire. The smog could create something else. You know what I mean? Like, things happen.
Or, like, if you're, like, a superhero and your power is controlling the weather, you would just fuck up everything all the time for the Earth.
Like,
could you imagine?
Storm.
Yeah, Storm.
She would totally mess up everything for everybody.
Do you think that, you know, like, they do this sometimes when there's fires in, like, in Los Angeles or, like
Wildfires.
Like, they'll start another fire, and then that eventually would take care of that fire. Like, it sucks out all the oxygen. Do you think that there's, like, a huge, like, hurricane coming, and then Storm just created another hurricane? Those two hurricanes would just battle each other out and, like,
even in
not how wind works.
The purpose of that totally doesn't align.
Yeah.
Well, forget my plan.
Keith's exactly that was your
plan.
Right.
That was my plan.
That's not how wind works.
Wind doesn't have an allegiance to good or evil. It's wind.
Fire, thank
you. But wouldn't you confuse the wind?
Wind does not have a consciousness.
But like too many pressure points, that the wind would just be like, we're done. Or like it would just explode. Maybe the Earth would explode.
No, it just
and that's
maybe.
Not
because
a good
of
thing.
Wind.
What comes on in your head?
I'm thinking right now.
Okay. I know.
Which is the worst, and this is a subjective question, but which is the worst natural disaster? A tornado, a hurricane?
Well, it depends.
Probably the double hurricane. You know, when two hurricanes fight in the sky.
Yeah.
Leaving all dead in its path.
And then wind just destroys the earth.
Well, Lauren, tornadoes last, like, on average, like, a couple minutes, right? Hurricanes can last a couple days. And they could just keep on moving up a coast. So, like, a tornado, as deadly as it is, it's like 5 minutes in like a certain area, and tornadoes also like they won't form like in Chicago because like the high buildings block the necessary air pressure to create the wind.
I thought that was an urban legend.
No, I think that's true.
Is that 100% true?
Is all the skyscrapers?
The more I hear you talk, the more I feel like Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt would be furious with you.
Speaking of, here's an update from. My Facebook, I asked about what's your favorite natural disaster movie, and this goes into the worst natural disaster that I'm thinking of. Jenna G wrote Dante's Peak.
Yes!
Only because she has a huge crush on Pierce Brosnan.
Who doesn't?
Wait, isn't Dante's Peak? Oh, God.
That's
spoiler alert.
So the answer,
but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to spoil this part of Dante's Peak.
If you haven't seen it by now, you won't see it.
It came out in 1996.
You're right. I'm probably never going to see it.
Dante's Peak, I think what's so horrible about it and just devastating in that film is how many people melt in lava.
The grandma? Yeah.
The grandmother that melts in the...
It's acid, though.
She's screaming and she's acid-y melting pool. It. It's horrible.
Isn't there like a hot spring, but it's really like burning?
Yeah, that's two people melts the grandmother.
They jump in there for like their honeymoon, and then they find them 3 days later just like baked next to it. Oh.
Then there's that dude that works for the transit system and gets melted in lava.
Yeah.
It was insane. Lava's
very
hot. I can't comprehend having lava just flowing
in my stomach. I was in Costa Rica last week, and here I found out while there that Costa Rica has 112 volcanoes, seven of which are still somewhat active, and one is apparently what they consider primary activity. Which is like, it could still erupt.
Is a volcano no longer a volcano?
Well, and that's the thing is the one that has primary activity, they had declared dormant for a long time. Oh. And then in like, it was like the late 60s, I want to say. It was just 7:30 in the morning, you know, farm people are like already waking up. Everyone else is like showering or still sleeping. And then just boom. And it erupted and it ruined so much shit. And everyone was like, how is this happening? And they were looking at, like, there was a main crater to the volcano that was dormant. But inside the volcano, so, like, the main crater had gotten blocked up.
So there was a volcano within a volcano?
No.
Volcano inception.
So what it did was it just blew, like, it was, that first crater got blocked up. So, like, oh, it's blocked up. No more volcano. But inside the volcano, all the lava was still building up. And since it had nowhere to go, it just blew a new crater.
Oh, my God.
So it just made a new tornado, no. A new volcano.
Yeah. Wow. And it's
that would probably be my most hated natural disaster if I ever had to encounter it.
God, I would never want to deal with volcano.
No.
There's so many parts of it that... There's so many parts of volcano that can, like, kill you. Like, volcano...
The lava one. That's more or less common.
I think the ash one
is the most common.
I think it's horrible. The most survivable when it's, like, just shooting rocks and lava. I think it's actually the most survivable because you can just dodge it if you're really good.
Dude. Like in Aladdin?
Well, yes. I was going to tell the listeners about Aladdin. In my scientific analysis of why it's easy to run away from volcanoes. I was going to reference that movie heavily, so thank you for covering that. So now I don't have to, great. Is that rocks falling down, you can at least try to jump out of the way, and lava does not move all that fast. It is still rock.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, once it gets past its initial impact, it flows very slowly. You can get away. You just got to be really good at running and having amazing spatial awareness.
Like Aladdin.
Yeah, imagine.
that's where I was going to do that, too. And then, but I couldn't because it had been spoiled.
And if you're stuck and you can't get out of a certain lava situation, you can just hit pause, A-A-B-B-A-A-B-B-A, and you can just go to the palace or the Cave of Wonders.
But the other thing... You didn't beat the magic carpet level?
It was hard.
Sometimes
so? The arrow wasn't there.
But who cares?
It got hard. I was in third grade. Shut up.
The other thing that's scary about volcanoes is that, like, just all the gases and stuff that they emit without you ever even
so much gas.
See it. Like, there have been towns that, or, you know, maybe like the base of a volcano, and the volcano will be building up steam or, I don't know, whatever the hell volcanoes do. And the just carbon dioxide, which is heavier than oxygen and everything else in our normal air, will come out the top of the volcano since it's heavier. It'll roll down completely invisibly and replace all of the oxygen, you know, depending on how much it is, up to like 15, 20 feet. So you're just walking around one day and then your oxygen is gone. And if it's enough, if it's continually erupting, it can stay that way for easily long enough to destroy a town.
Thus necessitating like those Jetsons houses.
Although I don't want you all to think that it's like you're walking along and then suddenly it's like you're in space and there's no air to breathe. You're breathing air. The air is just not oxygen. It's just not something your body can do anything with. Yeah. So it might as well be like carbon monoxide. You only need about one full lungful to be like, you're just out. You're dead. Just
not to terrify anyone any further. I've been looking into why tornadoes don't hit Chicago. In fact, they have hit Chicago in the history.
City?
The city of Chicago. One, In 1876.
Tall buildings.
I'm getting there. Went right through the loop, the place that is now the loop. There's one but there hasn't been a real one since 1950 in Evanston. The nomenclature of Nick was saying that because they're big buildings that prevents it is a myth. It's a little of that. It is a little of that, but it's also the fact that it's because it's a city. There's a lot of heat coming from the entire city, and so that combined with the packs that there are tall buildings make it possible that tornadoes aren't likely.
We beat weather, is what you're saying.
However, it does not, and quote, does not guarantee that it's safe from tornadoes as other cities.
Wait, can we start calling it Hot Cago? The same way Hot Lana was.
So, Castalvi, you're saying that a really good way for Chicago to defend against tornadoes might be just to have a tornado to send out and fight other tornadoes for us.
That's what it's saying right in this article.
Wow. Well, if heat will do it, we should actually light a big fire on
a
Chicago.
Fire tornado.
So that tornadoes.
I wonder how a tornado v. tornado film would be.
Well, one of them has to be on fire.
Are they anthropomorphic?
No, I think
no.
And
well,
voiced by Robin
Williams. Harry Potter, they fight.
God damn it.
They fight with like fire, and then Dumbledore shoots the water, and then there's like a wind tunnel.
Yeah, but it's magic.
I know, but I'm just saying.
You don't
like
understand,
Keith.
So wait, you mean they played Pokemon cards and knew about how the elements opposed each other?
Or
it's Charmander.
It's like a giant top battles, is what I imagine two Twisters fighting.
Oh.
They sort of ram each other.
Bounce off each other.
Yeah, but they also combine, and then they just rip
you
apart.
I think they would combine
like
a zord.
Have you seen that happen in real life, like two tornadoes, and then they combine?
No.
That's creepy.
Only in the movie
have
Twister.
Because it doesn't.
Is it not real? Is it just from Twister?
I think it might happen.
It's probably happened. I just haven't seen it in real life.
Yeah. Has anyone ever seen an actual Twister?
Rink.
I'd be real pissed if I did.
I have, but I never saw a touchdown.
Yeah, I've seen the things in the top of the. If you look up, you can see it start to form, but then it scared the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. But then I've never seen a touchdown.
My father is real big into weather because my dad has a pilot's license, so he flies, and so like big part of that is you got to be up on the weather, and so my dad's like really into weather. And so whenever we were around a storm or something like that, he always made me go out and look at it with him. And he was like, see, this is that cloud, and this is that, here, we're going to watch a tornado start to happen. Look, there's the tornado starting.
Oh, time to run back
inside. Not going to touch down. And he would make me stand, and I'd be seeing these things happening.
Did you like them, though?
That's crazy.
It was, I grew to like them. I really enjoyed it. At first, I was like, this is... most people freak out about it, and then I realized, the weather is not so terrifying if you get to know what it is.
Yeah, like, it's
like people.
I'm always fascinated. Like, I love just going outside and being in, like,
a storm.
Yeah, I like storms. They're, I'm around a lot of jumpy people who don't like storms, but, like, I just, probably because nothing bad ever's happened to me. I just walk around. Like, I would just go for walks, like, when it rains.
Oh, I got struck by lightning once.
I have
a great
story.
What?
Wait,
you got struck by lightning?
Yeah. Well, not directly. It struck a boat that my dad and I were on. And both of us got a little zoop at the same time.
Yeah.
Wasn't so bad. Little zoop.
Little zoop comes along.
What happened, Doctor?
Barely caught a little zoop. Nothing more.
You're really lucky because you could have died.
We all could be in a room of carbon dioxide and die too.
Oh, dioxide's okay.
Well, whatever Mark was saying.
No, dioxide's not okay.
But you can live on it for an hour.
Yeah.
An hour?
Yeah. That's a lot better than carbon monoxide.
That is very true. Yeah.
Keith, did you not take a natural disaster class? I feel like you did.
What?
Maybe.
No, I took mine safety training.
No, like
so I know
in,
about
in
gases.
College.
In college, I didn't take any natural disaster class.
Okay.
I didn't take that weather class. But
Beg pardon? No, Nick and I took it together.
No,
you guys took the weather class?
Earth's dynamic weather.
What?
Earth's dynamic weather.
Mark, you slept a lot in that class.
Yeah, it was a great nap time.
I have another update from a first-time writer, Ben W. Ben Walbert, whatever, on Natural Disaster Movie, and it's a joke one. Idiocracy, the biggest natural disaster mankind faces alone, the disappearance of natural selection through prolific, systematic breeding of stupid people.
An ad for the movie?
It's pretty good. Sounds good.
Luke Wilson's in that.
Do you do you guys know what a microburst is?
No.
What is that?
Yeah.
I had never heard of one until my dad and sister were in one.
What?
They were.
Why were they in a microburst?
Is that coral poison?
No, it's way, way less dangerous than coral poisoning, which is probably the worst disaster mankind faces.
If corals came down from the sky, we'd all...
But they were in the boundary waters between Minnesota and Canada on one of my father's famed fishing trips.
I love your father's famed fishing trips.
And so they were... But they were...
it's hard to say.
In a canoe on... I think it was called Lake Saginaw, which is a huge lake. And it just started getting really windy, and they're in a canoe fishing. So they're like, let's start heading in. And the place that they were going to, there's like a little river that came out of the lake, and they were maybe like 200 yards down the river. And they started paddling, and it was very windy. And so they were like, let's go as fast as we can. And then it just got completely calm for a second. And they were like, great, this is our chance. And luckily they did that, because a few seconds later, just an enormous gust of wind blew over a bunch of trees, flipped their canoe over, and threw a bunch of boats that were on the shore, just flipped them into the air and like into the river. And so they were dumped into the river, and they were foolishly not wearing life jackets at the time because they, you know, had been fishing on a calm lake all day.
The fools?
And
I wouldn't call them foolish. And this is crazy.
So like they were like lifted into the air, flipped into the water.
Wow.
And my sister swam to shore, and my dad was holding onto the canoe because he had gotten it, and it was just like floating away. And Carrie did exactly what you should do in that situation, which is just run up the hill screaming for help. Like, but like not just screaming in fear. She was just like, help, my father is floating away right now. Can somebody save him? And they ended up, someone caught up with them later, but it was just like this moment of like one giant gust of wind fucked up everything. And then it was like, that's why
it's like an honest Mark's Tales of Terror.
It is.
That's a combination of Cloud's Tales of Terror and Mark's Tale of Sorrow.
My mom was furious that this happened.
Your dad did it on purpose. To get out of dinner.
It's a microburst. It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, and like if it had hit them like while they were still in the big lake, like they probably wouldn't have made it because it was like 50 degree water, freezing, and they were fully clothed, so they would have had to like ditch their shoes and stuff if they couldn't make it to shore and, you know, in a few strokes.
And they made so much casserole.
Well, it's good that your dad stayed with the boat, because isn't that what you're supposed to do, too?
I mean, you're supposed to get to shore if you can reach it.
Well, yeah, if you can reach it, but then otherwise you're supposed to stay with the boat.
To be fair, he was trying to salvage his fishing equipment. But he also did want to live.
I have a stupid question.
Okay.
Would an avalanche be considered a natural disaster?
Yeah, sure.
And a blizzard, too, is a natural
disaster. And a mudslide, yeah, those are crazy.
Landslides, like also... in Costa Rica, they have a terrible problem with landslides where the rainforest is, because the soil's not very deep. So they'll lose like 3 or 4 houses a year in this one town we visited.
Can you explain to me how this works? So like there's land, like you're like, oh.
Just slides away, huh?
My house is here, and then it's gone. The land it is on is gone. Yeah. It just slides away.
You just wake up in a different area.
It's like a... mudslide works in the way that there's all this really loose dirt, like a ton of it, and it's on a really steep angle, and it's only like 2 or 3 inches maybe deep on top of like rock. Mm-hmm. So as it gets, huge storm comes and tons of rain just pours down, it starts picking it up and moving it. And then it just picks up and like an avalanche just builds as it goes, because it's going so quick, it's just picking up all that dirt, and it's just sliding right across those rocks, and it's just becoming... a combination of water and mud. It's like 50-50. It's a slurry. It's just going, and it just picks up cars and just takes them away.
It's nuts. What a concept. I mean, you trust the ground beneath you, and then that ground is no more.
Yeah.
It's intense.
And also, it is a drink that you can drink.
Yeah.
Like
a dessert.
Like natural disasters all have drinks named after them. Yeah. Because they're supposed to be...
It is a big thing.
It's hurricane.
I can literally describe a landslide if you want.
Okay.
Did you just do that, though?
Yeah.
A mudslide. Good.
A mudslide.
This is a landslide.
Okay, what's the difference?
Apparently, it begins with rainfall, and then the rain causes rocks and sedimentary to be loosened by the stable underlying bedrock along a distant zone of weakness. And a landslide in action, the soil layer separates from the more stable bedrock layer under earth, and gravity moves the soil layer down the slope. And there's a nice little cartoon.
That cartoon is so cool.
It just described everything.
Because Dobby's Dr. Science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the internet.
You said you almost got struck by lightning.
Well, yeah. Well, it was like I very easily could have been. I wasn't at it, but it was. There was this big storm in South Carolina, and when I was at Hilton Head, it was crazy lightning. And I was. I started walking home from this like clubhouse because there's nothing else to do. So I was on the internet. And I'm like, oh shit, it's getting real, real stormy. It was about 4 years ago. So I packed it all up and I started going back. And it was like a bunch of wind, and it was like about to pour. I could tell. So I just ran. And then it starts to like just downpour, and I'm like about 20 feet from the clubhouse. I'm like, oh shit! I just barely got started. I'm like, I'm going back. So I stood there and waited until it lessened a bit. After about 20 minutes, I'm like, I gotta go. And when I got home, as I was about two to three blocks away, a huge thunder, crazy loud, and like I saw a big flash in the direction of where our cottage was, so which is like our like villa thing. So I ran all the way back, and it was crazy. And I go into upstairs, and just my mirror of my bathroom was just blown apart. And there was just this big black spot in the middle of where the mirror was. Lightning had struck the tree outside of our condo, and it flowed out of the tree limb through the wall.
Wood is not very conductive either.
Like, right.
Yeah. A lot of electricity.
It just zapped straight through the wall and just blew apart the bathroom.
What?
And it was the bathroom that I would have probably been in, or at least in that bedroom, had I just bolted the first as soon as it had started.
Yeah.
Kill the squirrel too.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just say on Facebook right now? I asked the question. Best natural disaster movie of all time. So far, we only have three choices up there. So if anybody's listening and you want to add a new one, right now the competition is Waterworld.
Not at the drive-in.
The Day After Tomorrow.
Yes.
And Dante's Peak.
Can I talk about another natural disaster movie, which is awesome? Which I don't know if this qualifies as a natural disaster movie, but The Core. Would you consider that to be?
Yeah, that is a natural disaster.
What happens in The Core?
The
only
stops
way
rotating.
Out is in.
That's what happens.
The only way out is in.
The Core is also a wrestling group right now to bring wrestling and this all back.
Yeah, there's no earthquakes in The Core though.
No.
But
a bunch
in
of
the
birds
movie, The Core,
die.
There definitely is.
Way too many birds.
A bunch
die.
Of birds lose it and just crash into London. That scene's awesome.
Why do all the birds die in The Core?
Because they lose their sense of, like, when the Earth stops rotating, they lose their sense of, like, I guess, like, north, south, east, west, like, up
direction.
And down is gone. Because as it rotates. So
equilibrium.
Thank you. So they start flying into, like, people.
So every bird in the sky just turns into a weapon.
Wow.
Because for some reason, the
birds
lose their equilibrium.
Didn't that happen not too long ago, like in Illinois, like 2 or 3 months ago?
It does.
Birds just started popping.
Hey, like a bunch of birds are just dead somewhere.
I have a question about this whole the Earth stops rotating thing. That can't happen.
Well,
I guess that's not a question.
Not if we have another Earth that we can set to rotate against.
You're right. You're right, Mark. But no, like, how do they explain that the Earth stops rotating in the movie? Like
the core just stops moving. Apparently, this happens every like millennia or something.
Apparently,
the core of the Earth, not the No. Not like the Earth spinning. It's just the inner core.
Oh, the inner. So the Earth's still spinning, right?
It's just spinning. The core.
Yeah, the outer Earth is spinning. It's just that the inner Earth is not anymore. So there's like a weird.
And why is this bad? And so the point is to fix the core so that the birds live.
No, well, eventually the world will end. Like, I think it would cause like horrible natural disasters. Like storms that would last like hundreds of years, apparently.
So we have to nuke it.
So you have to drop a nuclear weapon into the magma.
Was like Armageddon a natural disaster?
Yeah, asteroid strike. Here's my question.
Strikes are real.
Are there, like most of these natural disasters, like volcano, you have to be near a volcano for this to affect you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like hurricane, you have to be near a place that has conditions for hurricane. Same with tornadoes, with earthquakes. Are there places on Earth that don't have a natural disaster associated with them?
From
Iceland?
Yeah. They have volcanoes.
Well, it depends. Would you call an asteroid falling to the Earth a natural disaster?
Yeah, totally.
So then nowhere.
Nowhere. You know what? I know the place that is most susceptible to natural disasters.
That's why?
Yeah.
The place most susceptible to natural disasters is Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They not only get shitty earthquakes, shitty typhoons, shitty
tsunamis.
Yeah. They also get Godzilla, and they have to deal with.
They also have horrible robot monsters that are off in there.
Well, I feel like a robot is not completely natural, whereas Godzilla is an organic.
Those people right now, man, they're going through a tough time. Our hearts go out to those people too. Yeah. They're right now. They're trying to get kids back to school and stuff. But I mean, everything.
Yeah.
They got hit with so many earthquakes. Yeah.
Please donate to the Red Cross, and when you do donate to the Red Cross, click on the area of greatest need because. Sometimes it might be sexy to donate to somewhere, but there are still folks that are in need.
Speaking of sexy, I'm going to be the one to bring this up.
Here we go.
Does anyone else, think thunder and thunderstorms kind of sexy?
Yeah. Like you do it in a storm and it's like,
They're really uncontrollable, you think, and they're in movies, all these exciting things are happening. When it's storming,
raining,
it brings out these base emotions in people.
Has anyone ever, had really good make out? Raining or storming, and you're like,
you get caught in a storm together. That's totally
romantic.
Well, we're all wet.
Just tell your story, Cloud.
No, there's been multiple instances. There's a storm happening, and you're like, this is cool.
No.
I feel you.
I'm sorry. No.
I have. I mean,
so yeah. Nick, you say you
have? Yeah.
Like you're outside?
Yeah. No, you're inside. Usually near a window or in a car. So you're inside.
Oh, God, I would love to see the date where it's Castelvi and Lisa, it's raining, and Lisa's like, oh, my God, isn't this wonderful? And Castelvi's like, no, I'm fucking wet. This is stupid. I am done. Fuck date over.
I stop all my dates at thunderstorms. I say, go home.
It won't be any fun now.
And Sue's saying you have angered with your choice of woman.
That's one of the other things about weather, coming back to Tom Skilling, is whenever Tom posts something about the weather, he'll get responses that are about as if he had created that weather. So if he's like,
dude,
finally.
Dude, people blame weather on the weatherman so
and much. Who is losing it right now?
Oh, no.
He's at level 4 laughter where he can't breathe.
EF4 laughter.
What about, do you guys believe in King Triton or Zeus or Poseidon?
Do we believe in these?
No.
Do we believe in these Greek gods?
I mean, I'd like to point out
all of these are Disney characters.
Do you guys ever think that lions lead communities of animals? You know, all the time.
And it runs a government.
Yeah.
I think every home should have a magic carpet to escape from volcanoes.
Well, no, Elizabethans would believe that the weather would inform them of so many decisions.
Like soothsayers and such.
I think everyday people would go off of the weather and
decisions
I didn't realize
how important the weather is to people on things. My girlfriend's sister just got married on Saturday. Congratulations. And
Your shit together, Nick.
God, one's a podcast at this point. Bakula just loses his ability to not laugh. He's just dying. Really quick, what is he dying about?
I gave him a Mucinex. Is this all that happens?
We're getting comments that Godzilla actually is not natural. That we created Godzilla.
Okay. So we didn't create Godzilla on purpose.
But he was not natural.
Godzilla was an accident.
Mutated by radiation. Oh, that's cool. I apologize, Scotland D. And she wrote Scotland D.
Scotland D.
And JR.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, well, back to what we were saying.
Oh, God.
I don't know what we were saying now.
I lost it.
Focusing
now.
On Nick.
Yeah, we were just ridiculing Nick mostly.
Yeah, we were. But there was actually something.
You said the wedding and how rain can make a break.
Yes, the wedding. Now, yeah, I didn't realize how many things are associated with, like, whether it rains on your wedding day, whether it's sunny, whether it's cloudy, like that.
You mean your luck and fortune?
Yeah.
Maybe it's snowing. You have an outdoor wedding.
Yeah,
be
like
really romantic.
There are so many superstitions associated with weather.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, a ton.
Like, people always try to find, like, a reason for weather. And that's what I think is so interesting. Like, it's clearly something that no one is controlling, but everyone wants to explain why
it's
happening.
You're kidding. I'm controlling it from the White House.
Sorry, Mr. Obama.
He's the man behind
storm.
They used to tell me, Girl Scouts, if there was dew on the ground, like, at 7 in the morning, like, early in the morning, that it meant you were going to have a sunny, beautiful day. But if there wasn't dew on the ground, that...
I think it's more complex than that. I really do.
Yeah,
I was hoping Lauren was going to say, if there's dew on the ground, it means you're going to meet a prince today.
And that too.
But not if you're a mermaid. Not until you sell away your most treasured possession.
Like a spoon. Yeah, I mean, and then some people, in the olden times, they would sacrifice people for the weather.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, okay, think about this. Think about, is it really so unreasonable, like, to see, like, why people thought, like, rain dances worked in the past? Where it's like, if you're trying, like, if you really think you can influence the weather, and you keep trying to do it, and for a while, every time you do one thing, the weather's good to you, and you get good, like... I totally see when we're forming societies, like, do a fucking rain dance.
All right,
I did a rain dance, and it worked.
No, it did not.
Wait.
This is called Lauren says something that's wrong.
Okay, wait. I was working at the Frankfort Township pool, right? And I really didn't want to work.
How old are you at this point?
I was, like, probably 16. And 16 what? Or 17, I was young. And we're in the concession stand, and we're like, man, we really want to go shopping today. Let's hope it rains. And
let's go shopping.
So we went, we took, I don't know why, we had...
I don't know.
We took hot dogs.
Oh, my God.
And went
to the, like, roof. You could climb up because there used to be a sun deck that people would... bathe naked on. So we went on top.
This is the public pool?
Yeah.
Where is this story going? I want
to
know.
Anyways, we did a rain dance at the top of the roof with hot dogs and had fun, and then it started to rain.
It just sounds offensive.
Wait.
Could people see you?
You played with hot dogs and it rained, so you thought you caused rain?
Makes sense.
No, it doesn't. That's no.
This is Ben. Lauren says something that's wrong. It's okay. We all knew. She knows it's wrong, too.
This was, like, so story. Funny. Like, we did not think there was going to be, you know, rain, but it
did. Wait, hold on. Back up.
Most importantly.
What do you mean you were playing with hot dogs? Like, how?
Were you having a voodoo?
Were you, like, juggling them? Were you, like, on the drum?
Just shaking them?
Shaking them? Like, rubbing them together.
And who was managing the concession stand during this period?
Supposedly me.
Was there just a cash drawer open while you're dancing on the roof with a hot dog?
God forbid somebody want a hot dog.
Yes.
Did you sell those hot dogs you danced with?
No, they fell on the ground. They broke off.
What did you do? Were you... Were you filleting these hot dogs? You can tell us if you were.
Did you pay for these hot dogs? Did you just take them?
No, this is also the concession stand that we grounded up Baby Ruth and Snickers, trying to make it look like fake poop to throw in the pool so we can get out.
Jesus, troublemaker.
Where did you work, Caddyshack?
You are cleverly avoiding my question. What were you doing? How were you playing with hot dogs?
Were you just waving them willy-nilly?
Yeah, we were like, we need something in our hands.
Like they were drumsticks.
Yes. You can't rain dance on your own. You're not strong enough.
Look, if you want it to rain, you got to get some good 100% beef hot dogs.
Yeah, all natural.
Like, are these hot dogs in a bun? Are these just barren hot dogs?
Are they cooked?
Just the dogs.
Right, if you are listening, can you please enlighten us to proper rain dance? Because this hot dog
I'm on
shit.
It.
I'm on it.
Thanks, Mr. Skilling.
Ballpark hot dogs. They break when you shake them.
Rain dance.
I feel like weather is something that, even if you don't know someone, though, like it's like one of the okay things that you can just talk about. Like someone in the elevator, like, oh man, it's rain.
It's the one thing we are all at the mercy of.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's the perfect icebreaker.
I think the only person that was like never at the mercy of the weather was like Michael Jackson. He always had someone with an umbrella around.
He was always fighting that weather with his own personal tornado.
Nobody.
Well, he just had a guy with like four hot dogs or something in case he needed them.
Have you guys? Would you consider?
No, have you guys heard about these buildings?
Seen this? Have you heard about
seen this?
These skyscrapers.
These buildings.
Skyscrapers that can defend against tornadoes. No, that unlike Jesus. I don't know if any of them in Chicago have them, but they have it in other parts. Like the tallest building, like in Malaysia, has it, where like they have like actual like huge things of concrete on the top floor that. Like computer enhanced like mechanics that wherever the wind is blowing, these things move in the opposite direction to make the top. So people
they're an automatic counterweight.
Counterweight, yeah. So people don't. But when you're that high up in the air, the building moves. You're gonna get motion sickness, or you're gonna things like that. That I don't know.
Skyscraper is supposed to sway.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then it would collapse.
Yeah. What's actually. Well, something I guess, I mean, there's nothing really good that came out of what happened in Japan, but the buildings that they had built to structurally make it through that weather made it.
Oh, yeah?
Like, they had this kind that swayed a lot more than any has ever swayed before. Wow. It has just a ridiculous give.
Yeah.
They've been putting so much, like, because they know that this is a possibility, they have put so much effort and, like, so much more money than anyone else protecting themselves and, like... You know, it actually could have been way worse. Like, they're very... And, like, the way how they handle themselves in a disaster, they're a culture of people that just doesn't panic. You know? They're just very understanding. No one was looting. You know, no one was price gouging. Like,
right,
they all just got together, and they're like, you know, like, okay, you need to get, you know, 50 miles away from here now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just do it. You know? Because it's a society based on respect, pretty much. And so it's like when the people... People, you know, at the top of the chain there, just like, you got to get out of here now. We're working on it, so.
Yeah, that's cool, but I don't know. One thing is that I love about disaster movies, and I love about all those things, is that American, you know, F you. I'm going to try and fight this hurricane.
There
are always those people.
Tommy Lee Jones.
You know?
Tommy Lee Jones, dude, he does not take shit from natural disasters.
George Clooney lost that battle.
I don't know what it is about Americans and the will to fight the storm.
Why don't we just go to space, put a bomb in the asteroid, and blow it up? I mean, come on, it's plain as pie.
I mean,
it's right there.
The Japanese all like find a way to deal with the disaster. We're like, no disaster, fuck you! I'll throw a tornado at your tornado.
Well, that's why robots are always the heroes in all their stories because they think you know you can build things to work. And we're like, no man, we'll kick its ass.
Hey, if we want to beat a natural disaster, we have to beat it with the most man-made shit possible. It's got to be so man-made and artificial to like equally combat the natural.
Robot tornadoes.
It's like a truck with a cow in it. Just drive it into it. It's manned by Dale Earnhardt. Also, I looked up a rain dance. I have how to do a rain dance.
Can you do it for us?
I can describe it really quick. Okay. You form two lines parallel to each other and about 4 feet apart.
How many people are required?
A bunch, apparently.
A bunch?
Enough to make
what,
two lines?
Is it, does it say which?
So more than two.
Does it say which culture this rain dance is from?
Sioux.
This is Sioux Indian? Because I think there were lots of cultures that had rain dances.
Yeah. And then you step forward with your left foot. You raise your right foot while... Are you doing this? Right, raise Nick McCool is doing it. Raise your right foot while moving forward and bring that foot to the floor. Yes, the men can stomp while more vigorously than the women if they want. Continue to step forward in this way. Left foot, right foot higher, stomp to floor. And then during one measure of the song, he's hopping.
He's doing a terrible job.
During one measure of the song, while moving forward, face to the right. There you go. During the next measure, face to the left. A zigzag pattern is formed as you continue on this manner from all around you.
We should make a rain dance song.
And then between measures, dancers can stop and twirl in imitation of the wind. There you go. That's a really good one.
This is actually where Nick really shines.
it's a shame you guys can't see this.
It's freestyle.
The women may chant or sing the song that's playing, and the men can yelp. And that's how you rain dance. You
just did it, Nick.
All right,
good job, Nick. Did it rain yet?
Tell you what, Nick, if it rains tomorrow, I'll give you a buck.
Yeah.
I will also give you
Why didn't we just check the weather? Tom Skilling probably already investigated the situation.
It's going to be an Ian McDiarmid situation.
This is going to be very much
an Better not be 90% rain. I would be livid.
Very confident.
But yeah, I feel like it's a big American thing to be like, fuck you, weather, I'm not going anywhere. I don't... Is that a...
That's like kind of like the Rings of Wrath. Like, I've been here for 30 seasons. I ain't leaving now.
I got a shotgun and cigars. Come on, Volcano.
Yeah.
But that's what I feel like. That's like
people
American
thinking they could, people thinking they could fight God or whatever causes nature.
It's like old man and sea or something like
that. Well, of course we think we can challenge them. Up until now, it's just been, all right, I'll defeat what's bigger than me. We have, as humans, have defeated everyone. Like, every living thing, we have defeated. We have lost to them, too, but we do have the ability to defeat them. Now, this nature thing, we're going to figure it out. We can predict it. We can see things coming. We can see them. We just don't know how to fight them yet. So we learn them, we study them, and we defend against them. So, like, this is battle. We are just currently always at war with weather.
Brian, I don't want to piss you off, Brian, but tomorrow there are PM showers.
Look what I did.
Terrible.
I'm just looking it up.
Dude, it must have sucked to be like a caveman. You don't know what's coming. You don't know anything. You don't even have a house.
Actually, that's probably why it rules to be a caveman. You don't know anything.
You know, cavemen know things. They know what to do, kind of, when a storm comes.
What Lisa's saying is that you're just completely at the mercy of them, and it's like, you don't necessarily know if it will be rain tomorrow, but then it happens, and then you have to deal with it. We have the luxury of Tom Skilling.
And God bless him. There are no weathermen.
And also, when it rains, we can, like, have a Netflix day. Whereas they're like, I can't hunt now.
I wonder if there were a lot more mellow cavemen about the weather. Like, I wonder if cavemen were not big complainers about the weather.
Actually,
because people complain about the weather all the fucking time to me, and they're like, oh, God, rain again.
Right?
God, how could I live in this horrible town? And and it's like, no, we haven't really had really terrible disasters. It's just fucking rainy for a little while. You know, but they just gripe.
I bet they fought rain by throwing water up at the air to sort of stave it off and counterbalance the amount of water that would
I don't know if all did that, but I'm sure some did. Whoever your ancestors were, I bet you they would throw water back at the wall.
Oh, yeah.
That's the McCool tribe.
The awesome tribe.
Just make like a bunch of ice cubes when it hails next. Just go, just challenge.
Fight water with water.
How we do it.
See what happens.
Well, so that was a lot of stuff about weather, but so we got to wrap this up, but we do want to say...
Sponsor.
We do. We do
have a sponsor for today.
Oh, wonderful.
Today's show has been sponsored by Earthqueef, which is a show
appropriate.
Which is a show going on at the Annoyance Theater, which is at 4830 North Broadway. It's a sketch show about natural disasters, believe it or not, starring Katie Colleton, Lisa Linky, Sam Super, and other people I can't pronounce.
I have a question.
Yes.
Will there be queefs in this show?
I can only imagine.
Great. That sounds great.
There's
E-A-R-T-H-K-W-E-I-F.
There's not queefs.
K-W-E-I-F, dude. Queef.
Queef.
Oh God! That
Earth Queef.
Oh, well, yeah. So yeah, that sounds fun. Go see that. And
how do you spell Queef?
Thanks for that basket. Thanks for that basket of bananas.
Q-U-E-F.
That they gave us.
They gave us. Oh
yeah, we're through our sponsors. Thank you for that basket of bananas.
Basket of bananas.
I will be happy to see that in the mail soon.
Remember, you can Google it. E-A-R-T-H. K-W-E-I. Earthqueef, you're
that's
the best.
How you spell queef.
Well, after all that nonsense, I suppose it's time for more nonsense from Nick Makula in another installment of Nick Makula's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Capone, your lawyer set me up. Why?
Seven words of wisdom. It was a sentence.
It's a continuing part.
Well,
of the story.
Good.
Pretty good.
Good weekend, everybody. Good everything.
Is this
lots
like, what,
of fun.
Chapter 60 of your story.
Chapter 60.
Ironically, the story only has people addressing Capone. I don't think
and
he has
lawyer.
Yet responded.
And we did say the end last week.
What?
It's been mosaic time.
I mean, no.
One of those art stories.
Well, a big thank you guys once again for coming out to the CIF show. We had a fantastic time partying with you as well as doing the show. We had a great time. We appreciate the sold out house. That was wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
We hope you guys had fun as well. We are excited, ever working toward our run starting June 19th, Sundays at 7.
Father's Day.
Forever, essentially. It'd be a great thing. Your father will love it. It's going to be, can we release the theme of it? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a beach party theme. Yeah. So just get, start looking now for the perfect beach apparel for this show.
I want to see some sweet board shorts.
Yeah. Or that inflatable shark costume.
Mm-hmm.
Land shark.
Yeah. So, as usual, keep checking back on the site. Check the iTunes library of all these podcasts if you are just now joining us for the first time. And thank you again to all our people listening live, operating through Twitter, through Facebook, and through the live stream chat. We appreciate all of that. And once again, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for that.
Dynamic
weather.
You should see it.
It's an awesome show.
We don't know that for sure. Probably. Probably really good.